I have two people with me on the phone here. Karen Zemlin and John Shepherd are with me to talk about next week's, hopefully, record-breaking swim. Thank you so much, both of you, for being with us this morning.
Glad to be with you.
Yes.
Me too.
All right, Karen, you're there too. So let's just start off, Karen, by if you could share a little bit of your history. I know you, for one thing, Lake Superior has been a part of your training, but you have a pretty accomplished set of swims behind you. Just share us just a little bit of what you've done in the past with swimming so people know what kind of swimmer you are.
So I started my first open water marathon swim was across Mille Lacs, our local lake here in Minnesota. I did a 20-mile swim in that lake. But as I branched out to oceans, I've done the English Channel, and I've done Catalina Channel, and I've swum around Manhattan Island. So those big bodies of water are so far away from us, but really leaned in and loved training in Lake Superior, which is just this amazing resource we have right in our backyard.
It totally is. And I mean, you say those swims as if it's nothing, but that I just need you to back up even a little more. Like, how did you get started in swimming? And, you know, what drives you to continue to do these just epically long and cold swims?
Yeah, you know what? I was lucky enough to have a dad that was an open water swimmer. And so he introduced me very early to open water swimming. And when I was a 14-year-old, he and I would go to our local swims in Alexandria. They had a series of open water races that were a quarter mile to 4 miles long. And I started learning there. And he and I just really enjoyed this together. So as I became an adult and watched his swimming expand to an attempt on the English Channel, it really opened my eyes up to the opportunities that are outside of Minnesota. And then I started just testing out my own theories. I watched him train and how he did it. And then I started testing out my own ideas, and that really, the learning involved in that and feeling and the challenges to your body and the things you need to overcome are so different in each venue that really is what captures my attention in these events, is that every venue is different, and,
yes,
and you're going to have to overcome different wildlife and different currents and things like that. And I really enjoy challenging myself and figuring out how I'm going to do it.
Yes. And I'd say the swim that you're talking about next week is going to be so completely different than any of these other ones. But there is so much talk about the English Channel, and you are one person who's completed the English Channel. I know it was not something that was easy. Can you just give us a quick rundown of what that swim is like for people who really don't know already?
Yeah, that is, it's what makes it, what complicates that swim is the speed of the currents that are being squeezed through the channel between the big ocean and the other end of that channel. It just gets squeezed down in this 20 mile gap between England and France. All that water is being forced through as that current changes direction every 6 hours.
Yeah.
So there's that complicates it, as well as the jellyfish that are in there, the coolness of the water. There's a lot to challenge yourself on over there, for sure.
And I've heard that you can, get pretty close, and then no matter how hard you swim, you're getting pushed farther and farther away. Did that happen to you?
Yeah, I trained and attempted it in 2015, and after 12 hours of swimming, I didn't remember it was called France anymore. My hands were claws. I was opening my water bottle with the side of my hand. I mean, it was so dramatic. But it was less than a mile from shore. My crew had to pull me out because I just wasn't making sense anymore. I wasn't clearly thinking anymore, and they knew that it was just time for me to be done.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm glad they pulled you out.
Yeah.
And you went back and finished it another time.
Yeah. Yep. And so I did the learning I needed to. I knew what my breakdowns were, and I knew what I needed to learn. And I went out and I took a few more years to really challenge myself in those ways and adapt in the ways I needed to get it done the next time.
And here you are on Lake Superior attempting a very different type of swim. This will be one that you accomplish with five others. And it seems like the main challenge, I mean, you've swum the distances easily. It's much more about the conditions. Is that accurate?
Yeah, Superior is so different from an ocean. An ocean really can be kind of, it's moderate in the way that its temperatures remain the same. And in Superior, you can have such a shift in temperature based on the wind direction. And some of the training I've done in Superior, I have, when I get in at the beach, within a mile, it can drop 10 or 15 degrees.
Right.
It's so, so amazing. And so, so that we're going to be watching, you know, and we're planning around that cold water and what to do if there's some shift while we're doing the swimming. We're trying to get away from shore, out away from the shore, because the biggest shifts can happen right at the shore.
Right.
And we know that we're coming with a lot of experience. The people I'm swimming with have a lot of experience. It's but we know that Superior can win. I mean, we know that it's got a mind of its own, and so we've just kind of got to work with how it shows up that day and just do the best we can in learning about it.
Yes, the lake is in charge, as we always are saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you really have set it up in a way to succeed, and you know that the lake is in charge, and it will happen if it happens. It's just such a, and with that, I mean, you have a lot of safety measures in place. You clearly mm-hmm. Have done stuff like this before. Do you want to explain exactly what the race will be if it all goes as planned? It's not a race even. So, I shouldn't even say race.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, yep. And I haven't, yeah, it's totally a swim, and we're trying to get from Pebble Beach at Split Rock Lighthouse to corner of the Lake Beach in Duluth. And we'll start one of the days, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday next week, based on conditions. We are going to check in daily with the boat captains and Mike Miller, who's helping us manage all these details and also a swimmer in the event, to make the call. Like, is this the next 24 hours that is going to be the best, or will tomorrow be better for some reason? And so we'll start on the first day possible.
And you will swim in hour-long segments? Is that sort of dependent on conditions?
Yeah, mostly it'll be that we're rotating every hour through our cycle of six swimmers. If for some reason, if because of the wind direction, it is cooler than 52 in the water at the start, we'll start with 30 minutes in that rotation. And then after the first rotation, we'll move to 60-minute rotations. So most likely we'll be doing 60-minute rotations. It sounds like it's good conditions. I got a little report this morning, and it sounds like we're going to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, right now it looks pretty good. Do your yeah. swimmers have cold water experience swimming?
Yeah, so all of us come with some experience. We have a couple of newer swimmers to marathon swimming, cold water marathon swimming, but they've been doing extra training in Superior. They've been making extra trips up from the cities to make sure they're getting a couple of swims in a weekend, or maybe three or four swims in a weekend, in order to acclimate, because we can't take that lightly. I mean, when Lake Superior, I want everybody to know that, and I think
yes.
most of your listeners probably know, because you live so near the lake. You just have to be really conscious of your own safety when you're a visitor there. So people that travel up there need to take it seriously. And so we do take it seriously.
Yeah, you probably have heard about the two boys that jumped in and presumably drowned from cold
yeah.
water, just were completely unprepared. So
yeah, it's so sad.
And we get those stories every year. So this is good to hear. Tell me about your swimmers. I know another thing that's different Lake Superior-wise is waves, just because they're so short and steep. And mm-hmm. probably you've been practicing with that too, I assume.
Yeah, we had a training swim with our boat captains a couple of weeks ago, and it was really a fun day for it, and a really good day for it, because there was probably 3-foot waves with some breakers and some swells to deal with. And it's really good practice, because you have to be comfortable with being washed over sometimes. So you don't always get your breath all the way in, because you get washed over by a wave. And so just knowing that knowing mentally, so a lot of it is a mental thing, just being comfortable with, oh, I didn't get a breath that time, I'll get a breath next time, it'll you know, and just managing your own anxiety around the conditions and actually just being excited for them. I that was a great training swim. I loved it out there. I don't know how it's going to be different when we're in it for 24 hours or more, probably.
Right.
But we'll see how it goes.
Yes. Well, having can small.
Go ahead, John.
I want you to jump in here.
Well, I just want to add, just to make very clear, because I don't think it was said, but they're doing all this without wetsuits.
Right. Good point.
Right.
Let everyone know the extent of the adventure here. And having swum in Lake Superior and also other open waters swims, I will just say too, Karen, what you're saying about, I mean, there is nothing more sort of blissful than Lake Superior when, if the conditions are right, it's the cleanest water. There's nothing to fear animal-wise. And you
right.
know, if you get a horizon and some splashes, oh my goodness, yes. But I mean, really, you're into much more than that, and it'll just be so interesting to hear how it goes. Now, for people who are considering, you know, might be on the shoreline and want to see what's going on, what kind of flotilla, what is this going to look like from close and from far?
So we have so many people involved because there's six swimmers, and then there needs to be, because it's such a long swim, it's over 24 hours, we need two captains on each boat. And we have two observers that are going to help collect data to verify the swim with our governing body. And then it'll be an official swim if we complete it under all those rules. And so it's quite a big, quite a massive of organization and pieces of, you know,
right.
and details around all that. So there's two big boats. We have Soulmates, which is a charter dive boat that most of the swimmers will be, all the swimmers will be on, and we'll be transitioning on and off from that boat. But ahead of that boat will be Soul Treks. It's a sailboat that does adventure activities will lead adventure activities. So it feels like it really fits in with our mission and our goals here. And they will help escort the swimmer. So they're going to guide the direction of the swim, and the swimmer who's ever next to them will dictate the speed of the swim. And as we transition in, that new swimmer will dictate the speed, but the sailboat will always be the guide. So we may or may not have at times a kayaker in there with us. So if we're close enough to shore, people might be able to see this going by. If we're further out, people would just want to make sure to stay away, because the key is the safety of the swimmer in that moment. And sometimes it's hard to see where that swimmer is if the waves are 2 to 3 feet or a little more or a little less. It's hard to pick out where that swimmer is exactly. So it's really important to stay back from that fleet of ships.
Yes. So you may see it. And you can even go out and wave, but you just need to make sure to stay a safe distance away. It sounds like there'll be a sailboat in the front and then a powerboat behind with all the swimmers in it, and also a Zodiac and a kayak potentially in the water at the same time.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. And the sailboat will be under engine power. We won't have to follow the sailboat.
Yeah.
Attacks.
Now, as a sailor, I have to say, I was thinking, man, a sailing would be much nicer for the swimmer, only in that when I swim in open water near boats, I can almost always taste the diesel. Is that something you're going to have to deal with?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I've heard stories about smelling diesel and swimmers feeling sick to their stomach because they're smelling the diesel. Most likely, those boats under engine power will be downwind of the swimmer, but for two reasons. It's partly because of the diesel smell, but it's often because of, we want to make sure that at that speed the boat's not blowing into the swimmer, and so that will always blow the boat away from the swimmer.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, I hope, I really would not want to put even that even the whiffs. Well, that would not be a pleasant part of the experience. All right, John, let's bring you into this conversation. I don't mean to be sidelining you. There's just so much to ask Karen, but this swim has a larger purpose than just the adventure. Do you want to talk a little bit about, so John is from the Center for Global Environmental Education and Hamline University, and there is a film that could be created from this. John, tell us the backstory and what's your part.
Right. Thank you. So, Yes, as you just said, our center, the Center for Global Environmental Education, is co-producing an hour-long documentary with PBS North in Duluth that is focused on the warming of Lake Superior, the impact of climate change on Lake Superior, because it's now an established fact that Lake Superior is among the fastest warming of the world's largest lakes due to climate change. And what the film is about is just really looking at that question, you know, what does that mean? What does that mean for the legacy of Lake Superior as a famously cold, clear and clean lake? What does it mean for the natural systems of the lake? And what does it mean for people who, you know, engage with Lake Superior for recreation, for their livelihoods, for commercial fishermen, for the shipping industry, for everybody? So we're kind of exploring the legacy of the lake as a, you know, the world's largest freshwater lake by surface area. It holds 10% of the world's freshwater. So it's an amazingly important body of water from, you know, almost any standpoint you could think of. And now it's warming up. So we're the film is exploring that whole question. And this idea of the swim kind of evolved as the idea for the documentary evolved. And we're excited to be able to film this event because it's, I think, going to be a wonderful way of giving people a sense of, you know, what is extraordinary about Lake Superior? What's it like to be in the lake for long periods of time as a swimmer without a wetsuit? So we're going to be able to capture that experience. And the fact that this relay swim is happening now, it's more feasible to think about doing something like this as the lake is warming than it would have been years ago. Although, as Karen has made it very clear, it's, you know, it's not a sure bet that they're going to have balmy conditions because you can get upwelling of cold currents depending on wind direction. One of the purposes of the swim is to raise awareness of the fact that the lake is warming. And so that's, you know, the other reason why the swim is relevant to our story. So that's kind of in a nutshell how all this has come together.
Yes. I know that the long-term average high for Lake Superior is 59 degrees. And we learned that about 20 years ago before we were spent a lot of time on Lake Superior. And now having sailed and swum in Lake Superior for 20 years, we would just say it can be virtually unrecognizable with temperatures, surface temperatures, you know, reaching into the 60s and even 70s almost every summer at some point. But like you say, that doesn't mean that on any given day it will be there. So this is right. Remains an adventure and a very fun and cool way to sort of highlight some important things. Karen, do you have anything to say about the sort of climate change aspect of this or the being filmed while you're swimming? You probably have the experience of being filmed before, but maybe not.
Well, yeah, this is a whole nother level of that. I mean, yeah. I think just being in a relay feels like, okay, I have never had to think about what I was going to do on the boat before. There are definitely things that we're learning. And one of them is, what am I going to do on the boat? Let's see.
Right.
But having, being a part of this documentary it also adds just this, an important part of helping other people be aware of this resource in our own, you know, that's connected to our own state. You know, it's like, I'm hoping this will perk other people's interest outside the people that are right there living it with it daily. And it's like, how do we get other people involved and interested in this resource we have? And I think that's what the documentary will do. And if our swim can help highlight people's interest or capture people's interest, then I'm super glad.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. We need to wrap this up, but I will say that when decisions are made as to when the swim will happen, we will be posting it on the radio web Facebook page and also our Amicus Adventure Sailing Facebook page. Is there anywhere else that you'd like to make sure people know to get the most updated information, John?
Yeah. So one possibility would be if it works for you to post on your website and those sources, you know, those means of reaching people you just mentioned would be, we can provide a link that has background information about the swim, and we can post updates onto that, and, you know, as to how things are going, and, you know, including the start date and all that stuff. So happy to share that information.
Great. And I mean, right now, I will say it looks pretty favorable that at least one of these days is going to happen. But yeah, I almost hate to say that just because we all know, you know, do not predict too far in advance what's going to happen on Lake Superior. Yeah. But at least we know it's not out yet.
No, for sure. I think it's looking good.
It's looking good. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, both of you. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we sign off?
No, just thank you very much for having us.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thanks and good luck next week. We'll see you out there.
Great.
All right. Bye-bye. That was Karen Zemlin and John Shepherd talking about next week's relay swim from Split Rock to Duluth.